I'm going to read from Mark chapter 2, and it may be that you'd like to follow it or you can just listen. Mark chapter 2 and verse 1. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus. After digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." So let's pause there for a moment. So it says here that Jesus again entered Capernaum and that he had come home. Now, Capernaum was Jesus' home. He had a home in Capernaum, and it was also his headquarters. So from Capernaum, he would go out to minister, come back, and then we're told that he had come home again. I was in Capernaum about a year and a half ago. And when we went to Capernaum by the Sea of Galilee, we were told that of all the sites in Israel, that they can guarantee that the first century synagogue that is still there, which the fourth century synagogue is built on top of, is 110% sure that this is the same synagogue that Jesus spoke in, preached in, did miracles in, was inspiring the people there. So as I was standing in this first century synagogue, it was an interesting, amazing feeling, knowing that I am standing. I'm walking where Jesus walked. So when I read the Bible now, it's not like it was before. I've got pictures in my mind of Jesus. I've got scenes in my mind and heart of the things that were happening. And I commend to you that if you've not been to Israel, go. Don't go to Cyprus. That's where my parents come from. It's a nice country. Forget Spain. Go to Israel. Your life may never be the same again. He had come home. There were so many people gathered. There was not even any room outside. The place, the house that he was in, was packed, full, standing room only. It's a bit like when we go to Africa and there's like standing room. When I go into a school in Nigeria, they are sitting on the floor, they're sitting in the chairs, they're sitting on the windowsills, and they're standing. And this is what it was like. It was full. And outside, it was packed. Get the scene. I want to paint the picture. And there were some men there. And what was, before I get to the men, what was happening? What was Jesus doing? It says that he was preaching the word. And the word of God gives life. That's why they were there. They were attracted to this man Jesus. What is he going to say or do? Because he's so unpredictable, so amazing. We know something of his reputation. He doesn't speak like other people. He doesn't live like other people. We've heard that he's a miracle worker. He was preaching the word to them. When I was in Cyprus a few years ago, I went there to rest and to recover. And I've just spoken in a church in Paphos, and two ladies came to me and they said, can we pray for you? I said, yes. So I was the visiting preacher, and two women wanted to pray for me. I sat down, and they didn't so much want to pray, thank God, but they wanted to do something else. So they gave me a word, and they said four things which impacted me, helped me. And these four things are still with me. They said, number one, first and foremost, you're not a servant of Jesus. You're his son. You are a child of God. And they spoke to me about that. Secondly, God has placed on you or will give you soon a gold coat. I understood that completely, by the way. They didn't need to explain it. I didn't want them to. I was in the right place at the right time. I was in the right place here. I don't mean I was in Paphos. I was in the right place here and here to know what they were talking about. Number two, God is putting over you a gold coat. I thought, I'll have that. Just before I went to Cyprus, someone in my church said, God is placing over you a red coat. Red coat, gold coat, I love the coat. She said, number three, Job 42 will happen to you. The latter part of your life will be more blessed than the former. Maybe you'll catch that, maybe you won't. So I was going through something terrible. And these women said, declared to me, like God said to Job, like, for everything that Job lost, God gave back double. He lost children. God gave him double. He lost donkeys and camels and loads of things. God gave Job double. And God says, it says in Job 42, that the latter part, the second half of your life will be more blessed than the first half of your life. And then God, the two ladies said to me, God trusts you. They didn't have to explain that. God entrusts you. God has trusted, will continue to trust you. With what God has given me, God says, I trust you, Andy. I've given you talents and gifts, and you've done well. Have more. I trust you. When I ask you to go, you go. When I ask you to speak, you speak. You have been faithful, trustworthy. So these are the four things the women said to me that day. I remember when a preacher, we invited a very famous speaker to come to our church. So I was working in an Anglican church, and he was very non-Anglican, but very at home in all denominations. He came, he finished his sermon, and he pointed his finger and started to prophesy. On the way to the meeting that night, because I knew of his reputation, I was praying, Lord Jesus, I want him tonight to prophesy over me publicly. Not some mamby-pamby word. That's what I want. And the first of four prophecies that day, that evening, the first one was to me. And it was that word, public word given. I'm talking about Jesus preaching the word. You know, and like when I say that, we might be thinking, well, that's the Bible. Well, that's one way. That's one way. And I listened to this word, which was given publicly, and the whole church weighed it up with me. And he started to speak in terms that I would go to countries and minister where I've never even thought of, that I would begin to have an international ministry, and that God would give me a prophetic gift at times. It was those kind of things that he said to me. And the word of God, Jesus was preaching that day. I remember a woman walked across the conference, tapped me on my shoulder one day and said, I believe I have a word for you. Can I give it? As soon as she opened her mouth and I knew who it was, I said to her, yes, give me the word. A renowned, respected preacher in America and here. And she gave me this word, which completely changed my life. What is God saying to you? She told me what I'd been doing. What kind of word did she give you, Andy? It was a word of knowledge. She said, I see you with a microphone in one hand and a notebook in the other, and you're preaching other people's sermons. That was true. She said, stop. You're unique and original. Be so. You're unique and original. Be so. She says, now I see you with a microphone in one hand and the Bible in the other, preaching to thousands of people powerfully the word of God. She said, you're unique and original. Be so. So Jesus this day was preaching the word of God to them. And you know, anything could and did happen when Jesus was around. He was always good to have around at a wedding, wasn't he? Unpredictable. Sometimes getting between our skin and under our skin as well. So he was preaching the word to them. And the Bible says that some men came and couldn't get in because there were so many people on the outside. They climbed the staircase, which was on the outside of outside. The staircase was on the outside of homes. Got on the roof and broke the roof and lowered the man down while he was preaching the word of God to a packed home and a packed outside looking in through the windows as well. They dismantled the roof. Hallelujah. They broke the roof. They didn't ask the elders, didn't ask some PCC, didn't ask the council for permission. They just broke the roof. Thank God. Lowered the man down. Jesus looked at them, not the man, and said to the four friends who carried him. Sometimes we have to carry someone. Sometimes we have to be carried. Four friends carried him and brought him to Jesus. He looked at the four men and said to the four men, he said to the man, he said, son, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, there's a lot in that. He didn't say, oi, mate. He didn't say, oi, man. He didn't say, man. He called him son. My son. The Africans call me daddy. They never call me Andy. They call me sir or daddy. And they will call Jane Big Mummy. Not because she's big, So I'm like Big Daddy. Not because I'm big, but I'm big. He said to him, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Verse 6. Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves. Get this. They're just thinking to themselves. You're thinking something now. I don't know what you're thinking unless the Lord tells me. They were thinking to themselves, "Why does this fella talk like this? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, verse 8, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. He said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralyzed man, 'Get up and walk,' or 'Your sins are forgiven'? Let's keep it simple, because it is. Which is easier?" Well, I know what's easier. It wasn't a catch question. Jesus wasn't being funny or strange in any way. He just said to them, "Well, which is easier? I'm challenging your theology. I'm challenging what you believe." And there will be times when God will come to us and challenge us on what we believe, what we hold true. They were holding true that only God can forgive sins. But he was challenging them, saying, "Well, who do you think I am anyway? Your puny theology." And you might stand up and say, "Oh, my theology." What do you mean, my theology? I avoid that term, my theology. When someone says to me, "Well, what's your theology, Andy?" Well, it's not my theology. It's not like, which is easier? He said, "I will tell you which is easier." Then he just stopped abruptly and said, "Get up and walk." What happened then? Well, they were like in shock. "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take up your mat and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." Then he said to the paralyzed man, "Get up, take your mat, go home. Have a nice day." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone. And they praised God, saying, "We've never seen anything like this." That's what God wants to do. This is what God wants to do. He wants to get us to a place where he's doing things. And we say, we're amazed. This is what God wants to do. So this man had a felt need. We all have them, don't we? And they're quite easy to identify. And if I asked you later, what is your felt and obvious need, you could tell me if you wanted to. It may be that you're sick. In mind, or body, or spirit. This man's obvious need, felt need, was his paralysis. It was all there for all to see. That's why he came to Jesus. He came to Jesus for one thing, brought by four friends, thank God. I've been carried. And I will continue to be carried. I have carried, and we continue to carry. So Jesus met his felt need. But he had another thing going on. That Jesus was concerned to heal and to see to. He needed forgiveness of sin. He needed a new start and a new life. It was probably that this man was despised and rejected as often in society if you were one of these people that were a leper or were sick, and many believed it was God's punishment perhaps. But this man had suffered, not just because he was paralyzed, but because of the rejection. He was a bit of an outcast. He suffered in his life. So you and I, we have obvious needs. And then we have something else going on at times, which the person next to you may not even know about. But Jesus knows about. And if we would just come to Jesus like this man came and say, here I am. I have an obvious need, it's this. I can talk to you about that. Is there something else you want to do in me that I'm not aware of? Do you want to put your finger on something? Or do you want to heal me of something? Do you want to speak to me about something? Do you want to instruct me about something? Do you want me to change something? What would you say and what would you like to do? So don't just say to him and don't just say to God, speak to me, Lord. That's a very evangelical prayer, isn't it? Which I tire of. Lord, speak to us. As if only God can do one thing. Of course God wants to speak because he loves us. And he cares for us. He's got many things to say. So many things to say. And he'd like to say them through you. For you. And to you. For you. And if God can use a donkey, he can use me. And he can use you, isn't it? Sometimes I feel like a donkey. And God says, I want you to be a fool for me. And take a step of faith and stick your neck out. Well, what if I sink? Sink! I'd rather walk on the water for a while and sink than not walk on the water at all. Are you writing that down? I'd rather walk on the water for a while and sink than not walk on the water. I'd rather listen to the word of Jesus like one word. Come, he said to Peter. He said, is it you? Just say, Lord, is it you? Or is it a ghost? Jesus said, come. So Peter didn't walk on H2O. He walked on the word of Jesus. One word. Come. And when Jesus speaks to you and I, whether he says yes or no or wait or something else, whatever he says to you, my friends, do it. In the words of Mary. Wise words, weren't they, at the wedding? Whatever my son says, he's a good boy. He's the son of God. He's the savior of the world. He's the light of the world. Whatever my son says, do it. Let me sum up and I'll finish. Jesus speaks the word. Receive it. A verse came to me for you today from a scripture word. It's this from Zechariah 3:4. I have taken away your sin and will put on you rich garments. And don't just read, I've taken away your sin. I've taken away your sin and everything that would hinder. In Hebrews, we're told to just shun sin and everything else that may not be sin, but would hinder. Not everything in my life is a sin, but there are maybe things in my life and in our lives that hinder. So the Lord would say, I have taken away your shame. I have taken away all that would hinder. I want to remove all things from you that would hinder. Those things that you would regard and he would regard as sin, and those things that you would not regard as sin. They're okay, but they're not the best for you or for people around you. Maybe it's an attitude of mediocrity or being average. And maybe God would say, I don't want you to be average. I don't want you to be mediocre. You can be amazing. Well, how can I be amazing at this stage in my life? How can I be amazing? It doesn't matter who we are or what stage we are. It doesn't matter what age we are. We can be amazing as we just give our lives more and more to him and his spirit. We're told not just to be filled with the spirit, but to keep in step with. It's not good enough for me to be anointed or filled with the Spirit, as Ephesians 4 says, Ephesians 4 or 5. But Galatians says that we can and we must keep in step with the Spirit. This is the word of God to you today. He has good things for you. He wants to surprise you. As in the words of C.S. Lewis, surprise you with joy. Come on. He does. And if you are sick in mind, body, and spirit, Jane and I are here. And if you'd like us to pray with you today, before we go, at any point, we are here to anoint you with oil, which is symbolic for healing. And whether I want to or not, I'm under orders. I'm not here to please you. I'm not here to give a little sermon and you say thank you at the end and that's it. I'm under orders, and I say that respectfully. And I'm under orders to say, we are here and the Lord is here. So if you are sick in mind or body or spirit, we are here to anoint you with oil. Even during tea time, it's allowed. Whatever. So I want you to just receive. Now, the Lord is speaking to many of you at this time in your lives. Just whatever he's saying to you, the first thing that we have to do when he does speak is to believe. That's the first condition of the promise coming true. It's obvious, isn't it? Believe. The second thing is receive. So when I've given words, or words have been given to me, or I've read in the Bible, or someone comes and gives me a word, the first thing to do is to listen, believe, weigh up, receive. I receive that. Oh, I want to receive it well. I want to embrace that word. I don't just want to listen to it, weigh it up and believe it's true. I want to embrace that word. I welcome that. I like that word. Even if it's challenging, I'll do that thing, Lord. I embrace you giving me that word. And I embrace the word, Lord. And is there something you want me to do with it? And there are always conditions, as you know. Every word that God gives, even if it's come and I will give you life, we have to come. So every word that God speaks, there are conditions. The first one is to believe. The second thing is to receive. That's the two first things, to believe and receive the word. And then if there is some instruction in it, or it implies instruction at some point, fulfill the instruction. So if I say to you, we are here to pray with you, then you have an option and you can come to us at the end for that. The Lord bless you. And the Lord bless his word. Now, very shortly, I finish my word to you today. Very shortly, we're going to have communion. And so you can continue to prepare your hearts and just receive, even during communion, even as you are sitting there receiving the bread and wine, receive him. So say to him, I'd like you to do this for me, Lord. My mind needs healing. I'm bothered. I'm bothered. I'm bothered, Lord. As you take that bread and wine, don't do what we normally do. You know, come to me, Lord. Minister to me so that I won't even have to go to Andy or Jane for prayer. Can you fix me now? So as you take that, receive his love. Remind yourself you are loved by Jesus and your God. If you need healing of mind or body or spirit, the Bible talks about our whole spirits being well. Amen.